Okay, turn tonight to Proverbs chapter 4. Sorry to bore you folks out there in radio land. I'm still old school. You can understand that, can't you? YouTube, Facebook, and so forth. I hope that didn't bother you too bad. Anyway, Proverbs chapter 4. I want to look at verses 14 through 19 this evening. And we're speaking this evening on the subject. It's a very simple, practical subject. The right road and the wrong road. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of the evil men. You will notice he uses the word path, then he uses the word way. He's talking here about the path of the wicked. Verse 15, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Now the second path, the right road, it says this, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at all what they stumble. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, this evening, we bow before you and pray your blessings now upon the reading of the Word of God. We pray tonight that you'll open our understanding. And Lord, I even think of that passage of Scripture that says, open thou mine eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Help me this evening and help us all this evening, not only me as I attempt to preach, but all of us as we attempt to listen, to absorb, and see how these truths can apply to our lives. And may we all be helped tonight as a result of this message. And Father, there's not a service that goes by but what we're not thinking of someone that could be listening that is on that wrong road, in the wrong way, heading down the wrong direction. And so tonight, Heavenly Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would remind that person they need to be on the right way. The road they're on is a fatal road. And Lord, this evening, bless us all. Meet every need that's been spoken today, the prayer requests earlier. And now, Father, meet with us and bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In this portion of God's Word, there are two potential paths that are mentioned, two potential ways, two potential roads that are mentioned in this passage. On the one road, you have the wicked. On the other road, you have the just. These two paths are totally different. They're traveled by two different types of people and leading to two different destinations. These two paths are totally opposite one another. They are diametrically opposed. There's no way you can compare these two paths. The path of the wicked, the path of the just. Those two paths in no way, shape, or form can combine and become the same road or path. They're totally separate. These verses of Scripture reminds us of the first psalm in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, that is, the first psalm. The first psalm talks about two ways. It's similar to what Proverbs writer is saying. And you remember how that psalm reads. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his time, in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Then, the other road, the other path, in that psalm says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You have the way of the righteous. You have the way of the ungodly. Coming back to my title, the right road and the wrong road. Now, Jesus also mentioned basically two avenues, two roads, two ways. And you recall what he said in Matthew 7. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For straight is a gate, wide is a gate rather, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Then he said, because straight is a gate, narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. So the psalmist talks about two ways. Jesus talks about two ways. And the book of Proverbs talks about two ways. I do find it sobering. I find it very sobering to read what Jesus said when he used the word many and he used the word few. Now think about that for just a moment. He said that many people are on the broad way and few people are on the straight way. Now what does that mean? That sort of tells me there's more people out there unsaved than saved. Now yes, children, infants, those that do not know any better, imbeciles, infants, those that have not reached the age of accountability, that know what sin is. Yes, I believe they're protected and taken care of by God's grace. Jesus says, suffer little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So believe that God does take care of infants and imbeciles, but now we still cannot discount what he said. He said, many are on the broad way and few are on the straight way. Now that's somewhat scary, really. That is very sobering. I mean, really, doesn't that explain perhaps the reason tonight why you have more people living in sin without a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ than you have those that have a clear-cut knowledge and understanding of the simple plan of salvation and the gospel of Jesus Christ to the matter of the salvation of their soul? It would appear to me that the Bible does teach that more are unsaved than what are saved. When you consider those three passages of scripture that we've looked at. You know, modern times has seen an increase in godless living, and those on the path of the wicked are walking a path that seems to be becoming more corrupt by the day. Those of us in my generation never thought that we would ever see such a wholesale corruption in this world. I literally, and that's one of the advantages of age. That's one of the advantages of years upon this earth as a Christian. Because you do have the vantage point of age. You remember different passing decades. You remember the times of youth, middle age, getting older, the trends that have come and gone. And then you also put into the mixture, comparing the moral climate today to the way it was, let's say, even 50 years ago. Those in our generation can see the stark differences and changes that have occurred. It's mind-blowing. It is literally hard to believe what we're seeing taking place today in this world. It appears to me that the wicked are walking that way. It appears to me that the just are walking on their way also, the way of redemption, the two ways. I basically got a two-point outline tonight. And it's very simple. First of all, the way of the wicked. Verses 14 through 17, which we've looked at. Then verse number 19, it says the way of the wicked. So the way of the wicked. Let me just briefly mention that. The nature of the ones that are walking that way, the Bible terms as being wicked. The Bible terms as being evil. A person is wicked. A person is evil who's walking that way. And there's no limit to what evil and wicked people can do. There's no limit. It just seems like people, the wicked people, those that are on that way, it's almost like they stay awake at night trying to figure out some kind of a new, perverse, perverted lifestyle to introduce. The world is getting darker by the moment. Sin is blossoming. Look how sin is playing out in this world. Every day, the cesspool of sin gets deeper. And today we live in the most dangerous, filthy, and sin-induced mentally deranged culture ever. I've never seen it this bad. Younger people haven't lived long enough to see the changes, but some of us older folks have. This country, this culture, this society is not getting better. It's getting worse. I believe in the very opposite of evolution. I believe in devolution. Not evolution, devolution. By the way, people don't have to be on this way either, because according to the Bible, it is entered by choice. Now let me show you something. Verses 14 and 15. Notice the language there. He says, enter not into the path of the wicked. That would indicate choice, wouldn't it? If he says, don't do it, don't enter, that means a person doesn't have to enter. Then he says, avoid it, which again is emphasizing choice. Now, you get this point. A person is a sinner two ways. We're a sinner by nature, and we're a sinner by choice. We're born a sinner, but we make choices. But the fact that we're a sinner by nature, we feed off of that. And then people make choices, branch out, and sin multiplies and so forth. As time goes on, if a person's lifestyle is not stopped by the grace of God, the intervention of the Holy Spirit in the changed life. But people don't have to be on this way of the wicked.
Amen.
Because Jesus is the way. He is the way out. He is the one that can make the difference, that can change the life around, that can turn a person around and give them something worth living for and put peace and happiness in their life and turn their direction around. Now, for me, I don't know about you, but I was heading as fast towards hell as my feet would take me when the Holy Spirit of God, the High Sheriff of Heaven, arrested my soul and I got saved. I was heading for hell, but thank God, salvation stopped the direction of my life and turned me around, and I've been heading to heaven ever since, and so have you that have been saved. But you see, this is the way that people don't have to be on. That's why we preachers stand up and preach the gospel and hold invitations and tell people, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. That's why we do that. That's why we give the gospel, because the gospel is the good news that Jesus paid it all, paid our sin debt. And a person does not have to live and rot in that terrible way of the wicked. They can have a life change by coming to Christ. Sin nature makes sin appealing, but the gospel makes it possible to be on the best way. The people on this way, I'm talking about the way of the wicked, which we've read about here, where it says this, it says, note this, the way of the wicked, verse 19, okay? The people on this way, it's just like they stay up at night devising some new form of wicked behavior. It's almost like they literally do. They stay up at night. Now, what can I do next? How can I mess up things anymore? What new lewd act can I commit? And I think I can prove that point. I don't want you to look at verse number 16. It says, they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. I kind of get the idea here that unsaved, ungodly people, they lay awake at night thinking, what can I do next? How more rotten can I get? You see what the verse says? They don't sleep. They're devising some new strategy of perverseness and wickedness and ungodliness. That's something, isn't it? Wickedness and violence is associated with the way. Because verse 17, wickedness, they drink the wine of violence. Now, I want to give you one example out of the million that we could give you on how crazy, mixed up, perverted, ungodly, wicked, sinful things are in our society today. You know what the new fad is? The new fad is for a person to prey on someone else like an older person, just come up behind them and lay them out. No reason. I saw in the news recently that even on an airliner, someone broke bad on an airliner. I think they tackled or did something terrible to one of the stewardesses on the airliner for no reason. Then I saw one news report about this elderly person. I think they were actually in a wheelchair going down a street minding their own business, and someone come up behind them and hit them in the back of the neck. For what reason? I saw one recently. Someone was in McDonald's and broke bad, just breaking everything in McDonald's, hitting people and just carrying on. I mean, people are out of control. And I'm telling you, folks, we're living in a dangerous society. It is dangerous. I encourage everybody in this church, if you're not packing, start packing. That's right. I mean, I encourage using your Second Amendment. It's getting to the place anymore, there's so much violence in the land, you can't get any protection from the government. So we've got to attend to our own business and take care of our own families. But there's something that people are not factoring into the equation as far as the lewdness, the debased living, and the filth that's being spewed out in society. And you don't even hear a lot of preachers even saying this. I believe this. I believe there's an increase in demon activity. And that's accounting for it. The increase of demon activity. The last days are days the Bible talks about. There will be an increase in demon activity. People demon controlled. Everything you read in the Bible in reference to demonic activity, you see lewd behavior. One of the classic examples in Scripture of lewd behavior brought on by demon possession and demon influence in a person's life is that Mark 5 account of that man of the Gadarenes that was controlled by the demons, and he was stark naked, cutting himself out of control. The devil undresses people, but God clothes people. First of all, we're clothed with his righteousness. Spirituality is coupled with modesty and decency. And demonology and the doctrines of demons encourage lewdness, debased living, nakedness, and so forth. I say give the devil the credit. He's behind it. You see, next to God in authority is the devil. And people don't realize that. The devil can't be everywhere at the same time because he's not omnipresent. But he has an organized force of demons, and I think he has an organized kingdom, and he has generals, and he has lieutenant colonels under his command, and they're dispatched in different places in a sense, in a military sense, with a command structure, with demons operating under a certain command. And I believe that this world is infested with demonic activity today. You can't tell me that people can live in such filth and in the gutter spiritually and not be possessed by demons. The way of the wicked. This way is a way of deceit, a way of hypocrisy. And again, we see today so much of this that has gotten into the military, gotten into politics, gotten into culture, gotten into dictionaries, word changes, attempting to rename, define sin to make it look better, wokeness, political correctness, not offending anybody. It is the way of distorted thinking that is warped to the extent that not offending people is more important than not offending God. Wokeness proves that point. Changing gender, nouns, pronouns, and so forth. Instead of saying women and men and mothers bearing children, they're changing around birthing people and a lot of other ways that wokeness has infected our culture, and then to think that the United States Air Force has picked up and run with that. Steve, you ought to get on them. Get on the Air Force, brother. So I'm saying tonight, we are living at a time that wickedness is in this world. How corrupt can American politics get when liberals use the anti-abortion position of the Republican Party as talking points to possibly get radical Democrats elected into office? Amen. That's using the lives of the unborn as checkers on the checkerboard to play the game. That's using human beings created in the image of God to be a deciding factor to put evil, godless politicians into office. And by the way, I'll say this tonight without any reservation, hesitation, or anything else. To vote for these creeps is to be an accomplice in their crimes. You vote for baby killers, you're an accomplice in a crime. It's time, America, that America wakes up. It's time that people quit thinking this thing of always connected to a party per se. We better start knowing who's out there, what they believe, and if it's anything corrupt such as killing babies, then we as Christian people have responsibility to take a stand against murdering of infants, the unborn. If there's anything that will send America to hell in a hurry, it'll be the abortion epidemic. But thank God for the good politicians that have their heads screwed on right and want to do the right thing. The way of the wicked is a way where there's no shame or embarrassment. Jeremiah 6 verse 15 says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No or nay. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 6:15. We've come to a time today in our culture where people no longer blush at sin. They sin with a smile. Used to be conviction. There used to be a shame. But that's long gone in our culture. But now, I want to talk to you finally this evening about the good way. The right way. The way that I'm privileged by God's grace to be on. And so are you. I'm talking about the way of the just. Verse 18. But the path of the just is as a shining light. Well, that's encouraging, isn't it? That shineth more and more until the perfect day. You know, I grew up in a time in West Virginia that we had, some of y'all can remember those times. I can remember in some of our rooms, we just had one light bulb. And I can remember those light bulbs extended down from the ceiling with a long cord, just one light bulb. I can remember living in houses to where all it was just a light bulb. You go in a room, there's no cover, right, or chandelier or whatever you call it. Just a bulb hanging down. And I can remember back in those days, those bulbs were so dull. I mean, you may as well light a candle. But then you might have a fancier chandelier maybe in a living room area or whatever, or, you know, in houses. But old houses, it was not uncommon in the country. That was the only lighting you had. You didn't have any fancy lamps. It was just a bulb hanging down from the ceiling. And it was dull at that. Times progressed. They started making bulbs with more wattage, I think. They started getting brighter. Then along comes LEDs. One time we had not a LED, what was that car we had?
LTD.
We had an LTD, but I'm talking about an LED. The LED light's much brighter. And then even since the advent of the LED lights, they keep getting brighter. You know, I look at the life of a Christian. You start out as a new convert with about a 50-watt bulb of knowledge of God and His Word. You keep growing. Next thing you know, you're in an LED stage. The light comes on more. It gets brighter. And then, if you look at that verse, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The day is coming that God's people are going to be in the presence of him who is the light of the world. The glorious light of His presence will light up glory. There will be no need of the sun in heaven, because He's going to be the light. And I think of that new Jerusalem. Jesus will be the light of that city. I mean, it's going to keep getting brighter and brighter and brighter. The way of the just. The pathway of the just is a pathway of righteous living, because those on that pathway are justified. This way is a path of life. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. This path of the just is an old path. It's an old path. It doesn't need any refinement. It doesn't need any wokeness to help cushion the wording, to be less offensive. It doesn't need that. You know, the Bible says in Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein. Ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. The path of the just is often criticized. I mean, Christians are called old-fashioned, head in the sand, fundamentalists, screwballs sometimes, nutcases, uneducated. I mean, you name it. Christians are called all kinds of things because the world does not like God's people. But this path that I'm talking about here that you and I are on is unaltered. It has not been streamlined to the times or amended to accommodate godless living. Those walking this path believe that any amending needs to be the ways of the people. We don't need to amend our convictions. We don't need to amend godly principles, but we, on this path, we believe many times we need to amend our ways. This path is old, but it's not antiquated. It's authentic, but it's not imitated. This path is bright and leads to a brighter future, for it's a highway to heaven. The way of the just is a way which brings the prodigal out of the far country of sin and brings that prodigal into the loving arms of the Father. That's the path we're on. Somebody wrote this, and I love how they put it together. They said this about the old path that you and me tonight, as God's people, have been walking, many of us for many years. They said this: I like the old path when crime didn't pay, hard work did, and people knew the difference.
Amen.
I like the old path when people loved the truth, hated a lie, they'd follow the pastor and ignore the world, they'd get in and not get out. The time that hymns sounded godly, sermons sounded helpful, shouting sounded normal, crying sounded often, church folk were faithful, sinners were respectful, and everybody had manners. Cursing was wicked, drinking was evil, divorce was unbelievable, the flag was honored, America was beautiful, God was welcome. We read the Bible in public, prayed in schools, preached on the courthouse steps. Those were the days when going to church was a blessing. Going to school was an education. And going to a gas station that sold beer was a disgrace. Grandma and grandpa were wise. Mom and dad were together and children were precious. To be called an American was worth dying for. To be called a Christian was worth living for. And to be called a traitor was worth fighting for. Cowards were shot, deserters were hung, and criminals were sent to prison, not Washington. Abortion was an illegal word, love was clean, courting was watched, dating was going to church, and marriage was till death. Preachers preached because they had a message, singers sang because they had a song, Christians shouted because they had the victory, and sinners got convicted. Preachers preached from the Bible, singers sung from the heart. Sinners repented and got saved. A new birth meant a new life. Salvation meant a change. Joining the church meant we would attend. Being a preacher meant you were called of God. Being a deacon meant you would serve the church. Being a Christian meant you would live for Jesus. And being a sinner meant somebody was praying for you. People prayed and wept over the lost in their community. God was worshipped, Christ was exalted, the Holy Spirit was followed, the Bible was believed, not corrected, sinners got saved, and converts were converted. I'm glad tonight that I have been on that way, still walk that way, and God gets the glory for it all the way. Otherwise, I'd be on that broad way. You can't beat the old way. The way of the wicked is a way that leads to destruction. But the way of the righteous, it gets better and better and better all the time. Somebody else said, they said we would say, those were the days we'd say amen to the truth. We'd go to the altar to repent of sin. We'd bring folks to church. We'd stand against sin anytime and everywhere. That was the old path. You know, my friend, I long for the old path. I miss the old path. I miss old time religion. I miss just being a good Christian. I miss coming to church, and I'm not talking about a church in particular, but I'm just saying there was a time that coming to church was more of a burden, more of a delight, more of a desire, more of an anticipation. And people came and got right with God. Tears were coming. Altars were filled. People were being converted. God's people were being revived. Oh, my friend, I long for those days. The old paths. I'm glad tonight to be old-fashioned. I'm thankful to be old school. I'm thankful, actually, to have come up when I came up. Because God only knows where I'd be tonight if I was born into this modern culture with all the vices. My heart goes out to young people like you two that are here tonight. My heart goes out to the teenagers, to the youth of our land. My heart goes out. You're facing things that I didn't have to face. You're dealing with problems that I never had to deal with. That means tonight, if there's any grouping of people in our church, in our society, in our community, that Christians need to be praying for and lifting up and encouraging, it's the youth of our land.
Amen.
But thank God for the old path. I still say tonight, give me the old time religion. Give me the old time religion. It's good enough for me. People may make fun of you if you're walking the old path, but in the end, to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, will mean more than all of the accolades that life can heap upon you. This book is still God's word. It still works. Jesus still saves. And God, and there is still victory tonight in Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray you see fit this evening to take what has been spoken and use it to help us all. Lord, help us tonight to not apologize for being on the old path, but to be more thankful than ever. And Lord, I pray for the lost people in this world, lost people associated with families of our church. I pray that they will hear the truth and come to Christ and get on the way that leads to glory and get off the new path and on the old path. Father, bless the invitation. If there's anyone here this evening that needs to come and pray at this altar, maybe some need needs to be addressed at the altar, whatever it is, if there's someone listening to me watching by use of YouTube or Facebook that is not saved, help them to understand this evening through the Holy Spirit's help that the way of the wicked is the way that leads to destruction. And people need the Lord. Bless, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.